Kobacki, Jen Psaki attempting to put lipstick on that pig of a unemployment report today, a disastrous September jobs report. There were such high expectations. The jobs creation number, in the words of CNBC, it came up short with a gain of just 194,000 jobs in September. The estimate was near 500,000 jobs. We came nowhere near that. In fact, people left the labor force in September. People left the labor force. But you have Joe Biden crowing about, well, the unemployment rate went down. Yes, the unemployment, this is a simple mathematical thing. The unemployment rate's going to go down if there are fewer people even seeking jobs. People left the labor force in shocking numbers. Here's Joe Biden today trying to spin this thing as a victory.
In total, the job creation in the first 8 months of my administration is nearly 5 million jobs. Jobs up, wages up, unemployment down. That's progress. And it's a tribute to the hard work and resilience of the American people who are battling through this pandemic.
And this
working
administration.
To keep their businesses afloat. Remember, today's report is based on a survey that was taken during the week of September the 13th. Mm-hmm. Not today, September the 13th, when COVID cases were averaging more than 150,000 per day.
It was so long ago.
Since then, we've seen the daily cases fall by more than one third, and they're continuing to trend down. We're continuing to make progress.
As usual, blaming COVID for every disaster within the administration. Let's actually jump into the economics of this with an economist from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. That's Dr. E.J. Antoni, who joins us now. E.J., good afternoon to you.
Vince, great to be with you in the audience again. And by the way, I think someone needs to fix Biden's teleprompter, because the two surveys that comprise this report are done the week of the 12th. Not the week of the 13th, but neither here nor there.
Okay, so when he tries to talk about the facts, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. But and we've been reminded of that from time to time. So, EJ, when you look at this report, what do you say?
Essentially a giant disappointment. I think the last time we were talking about a jobs report, Vince, you called it a dumpster fire. This one got even worse, unfortunately. In fact, this is actually the worst one of the whole year. So we only added, as you said, 194,000 jobs. It's less than half of expectations. The labor force is becoming more and more of a concern. We are still 3.1 million below our pre-pandemic levels. So if you adjust the labor force to compare how many jobs we have and job seekers we have, and you make that relative to pre-pandemic levels, the unemployment rate is not 4.8%, it's 6.6%. Mm. So we are far from out of the woods, and we are far from recovered. And I really don't understand when Biden starts saying that these are such great numbers. We've added so many millions of jobs, 5 million jobs, I think he said. I mean, we're coming out of a pandemic where we literally forced the economy to close, right? Trump added, I think it was 2.8 million and then 4.8 million in the month after that, and then 1.7 and about 1.5 million after that. So the fact that we saw huge job gains, that's to be expected. Having only 194,000 jobs in a month, that is not expected. That is a big swing and a miss, unfortunately.
Why are people leaving the labor force? Do we have any sense of why this trend is occurring right now?
It's a really, really good question. We have some theories. Unfortunately, we're probably going to need more data in order to see these out mm-hmm. and see which ones are actually standing up to the facts and which one are not. More and more, though, I personally am becoming concerned with the vaccine mandates. One of the big sectors that lost jobs was government. We saw 123,000 jobs lost net. In fact, local government education accounted for more than all of that. We saw 144,000 jobs gone. So if you look at how government, especially local government education,
yes.
and the healthcare sector are failing to perform, that could very well be because of vaccine mandates.
So this data we're looking at, you said, starts the week of September 12th?
Yes. These surveys are conducted on whatever week contains the 12th.
So this would come after. Remember, Biden gave that very haunting announcement where he said that his patience is running out with the American public. And he moved from having a testing exception to no testing exception for federal employees and federal contractors. In addition, he said that any business with over 100 employees would be required to vaccinate those employees to make sure that they're vaccinated in order for them to be able to even work there. By the way, OSHA has still not yet promulgated that regulation, but all of that was announced back on September 9th. So the time we're talking about would be covered by this.
Absolutely. And when you start combining this with some of the more admittedly anecdotal data, but when you start seeing news reports of teachers and nurses being fired in New York City,
right,
when you see firefighters being fired or not hired, either one, out in California and in other places, all of a sudden you can start to put together a story that aligns with the facts. But again, we'll have to wait as more data comes in over the coming months to see if that theory really stands up to the facts. But so far, it's one of the ideas that seems to fit.
Now, tell me, I know that you and I have talked about in the past, and I'd like to get an update on the role that extended unemployment benefits have played in joblessness over the course of the last year. We saw a number of red states, conservative states, governors deciding, no more extended unemployment benefits. We're not going to keep handing out extra bucks to keep people out of their jobs. And when they did that, you told me, you relayed to me at the time that the data show that that was very helpful to get people back to work. People decided that, no, they're going to go back to work now to earn that paycheck. And then the federal government got rid of it for every state because the congressional limitation had run out. What was the date on that?
That was, I believe, September 6th.
Okay, so around September 6th. So what has happened since September 6th?
So unfortunately, we haven't really had much time, right? Because these surveys are conducted on whatever day or whatever week contains the 12th, not a whole lot of time elapsed. But even still, we were expecting to see some kind of bounce, and we didn't even see that. But what we do have is data going back over the summer where we can observe the states that ended the supplemental bonus and the states that did not.
Right.
And what we found was that before the mostly red states, right, started ending that bonus, we saw the blue states converging on pre-pandemic employment levels faster. And likely the reason for that was because the blue states were typically the ones that shut down their economies the hardest and lost the most jobs,
mm-hmm.
right? So it makes sense that they're going to be getting more jobs faster because they fell further. However, once the states began ending those bonuses on their own, all of a sudden the red states began converging faster. So the trend completely flipped. So that was a big part of the reason why we thought that we were going to see more of a bounce this time around. So perhaps we just have to wait another month before the survey data actually catches up with the reality. Because again, someone who decided to make a life change in the last 2 weeks of September is really not going to be accounted for in this data.
EJ and Tony, I'm looking at a headline here from this week. Americans are now paying the most for gas in 7 years. Gas prices, the average for gas is the highest it's been since 2014, back when Obama was president. In some places, Americans are now paying more than $5 per gallon. That's an incredible number. But that's one of several economic headwinds I'm seeing in headlines. Additionally, a lot of push for people to do their holiday shopping early because you're watching as these container ships are all just in these gigantic traffic jams off of the West Coast right now. There are massive bottlenecks for supplies to come into the United States. And the end result is that people are now paying more for products across the country. What economic headwinds are you watching closely?
Inflation. I keep telling people those are the three things I think about when I wake up every morning. But you mentioned gasoline, right? Looking at this jobs report, oil and gas extraction only added 1,100 jobs in September. Now, granted, we are finally back at our pre-pandemic levels, but just barely. Right. Other forms of energy like coal. Coal mining is still down. I think it's 9% from February of 2020 in terms of jobs in that industry. So that is an industry that has just really gotten battered, and they're afraid to expand because they don't know what kind of taxes and regulations are coming down the pike.
Well, all those guys are now making solar panels, right? How's the solar panel industry doing?
Oh dear goodness! Yes, yeah, exactly. So we're getting rid of good, you know, blue collar jobs in Appalachia,
yes.
but we're finding jobs in China. So that's good news.
Good.
In terms of the supply chain, one of the really scary things, and why I join in that chorus of people saying do your holiday shopping now because you might be facing empty store shelves in December, is the fact that we are seeing supply chain problems for inputs right now, not just for outputs.
What does that mean?
What I mean by that is you're seeing things like raw materials go short right now. So those raw materials are going to turn into intermediate goods, which eventually get turned into final goods, which wind up on store shelves, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But that can sometimes take days, weeks, or months for that process to happen. So if you don't have those raw materials today, for instance, it might be next week or next month or perhaps in December that you are missing items on those store shelves. And even if those items actually get there, chances are we're going to be facing more scarcity issues, so you're going to see fewer holiday sales, for example, and higher prices.
So inflation, a big concern for Dr. E.J. Antoni. And this is, in the midst of all of this, we also are dealing with China, which has got rolling blackouts going on. Xi Jinping is reorienting the economy and the structure of the government there much more around himself, and he's looking to diminish the other power centers in the country. And as a result, all of that reliance that we've had on China for supply chains could be thrown into some chaos here, no?
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, much of the warnings that Donald Trump gave us about our over-reliance on China, who is not particularly friendly to this country and to our Democratic Republic ideals in general.
Yes.
We have become overly reliant on them. And unfortunately, now we're even overly reliant on Russia, who the Democrats for years have been telling us is our worst enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are importing a record amount of Russian oil. Imagine that. We went from being on the verge of not just energy independence, but energy dominance on the world stage.
Yes.
To now we actually have the White House begging OPEC Plus members to increase production instead of begging our own producers to increase production.
It's just
instead,
offensive.
We're threatening tax increases.
It's just
on
offensive.
Our own producers.
Yeah, no, this idea that we went from net energy exporter to now begging OPEC for more oil is completely antithetical to what any leader of this country should actually be pursuing. I mean, the obvious thing here is you want to pursue the benefit of the United States. You want to pursue American jobs. You want to pursue American energy independence. It's not just good economics. It's good national security. And yet here we are on bended knee trying to request better prices from foreign countries. One other thing here, EJ, which is I saw today some headlines about how we have now joined with hundreds of other countries in declaring that we would have a minimum tax, a global minimum tax, this gigantic agreement that'll set a, quote, 15% minimum tax rate. Over 130 countries have agreed to be a part of this. There does seem to be some problems here. Among them, how many of these countries are democracies? I mean, unless you have an authoritarian leader like we do, unless you have an authoritarian leader, you can't just change the tax rate on your own. You have to get the approval of the people. And everyone's going to have a minimum 15% tax break. Nobody's going to be underbidding in order to draw businesses to their countries.
Well, I think the Biden administration and our Treasury Secretary in particular are just licking their chops at this idea, right? What they effectively want is a cartel. We were just talking about OPEC. That's a cartel, right? They get together, they set an artificially high market price, and how do they sell this to the American people and to citizens of other countries? They say, oh, we're raising taxes on this greedy, faceless corporation over here. Okay, corporations may be people de jure, but they're not de facto, right? Only people can pay taxes. So while a corporation is a person in the eyes of the law, they don't actually function as a person when it comes to taxes. Only people can pay taxes. So the corporate tax rate gets passed on to people in the form of lower returns for shareholders, lower earnings for employees, and higher prices for customers. So what this effectively is an attempt by governments around the world to hose their own citizens for more taxes without them really knowing it. And that's how the cartel wants it.
Sounds like a theme. It sounds like it happens all the time. Dr. E.J. Antoni of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, thanks for helping us navigate these economic numbers today.
Great to be with you.